right, well, good evening. It's good to be out. If you ate only half your plate this morning, you're still full. How, you know, preachers have to be engineers. No, I'm not a preacher. But you know how you open up those boxes, and then if you want to put it back in there, you can't get everything back in there? That's the way the message was this morning, you know. It was just good. You know, it's just how you get so much stuff in one box, I don't know. But anyway, we'll be looking at 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 12. And we'll ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, we do thank you for the day. What a blessing it's been. How good it's been to see the people of God here. How good it's been to see folks that don't know you having the opportunity to hear the gospel. Lord, we ask that you'll work in each of their hearts. Lord, we thank you for the food that we received, Lord, to correct us, to rebuke us, to instruct us. Lord, to do all that's needed in our lives, to encourage us. Lord, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be a mouthpiece for you. Help us to help others, Lord. Help us to want to bring them in. And Lord, we just thank you for being so good to us and ask that you'll bless your word this evening. Pray for those that aren't able to be here. In Christ's name, amen. All right, in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, I just want to talk about civil war, because this is what's starting. I'm not talking about in our country, even though it may be starting in our country. But here in chapter 2, it seems to be starting here among the people of God. And what a terrible thing a civil war is. You know, it's a war between the citizens of the same country. But as we'll review just a little bit, because we've been away from it for a little while, you know, David has gone to Hebron, and as he was directed by God to do so. The people of Judah have made David their king. Remember, David had been anointed years earlier, and patiently David waits, because the Lord's anointed was Saul, and he waits for God to deal with Saul. David's had opportunities to deal with Saul, and he said, that's not my place. That's not my seat. God is the one that's on the throne, and he says, I'm going to honor God in everything I do. And for a big part, David did that. But Abner, who is not directed by God, and who is not bowing the knee to the Lord's anointed, he sets up Ishbosheth, one of Saul's sons, as the king over the other 11 tribes. So Abner has chosen Abner. Did I say Abner chose Abner? I did, and I meant to. Abner had chosen him. Abner's watching out for Abner. Abner's doing what's in his best interest. He just set up Ishbosheth just as a figure. Abner is the one behind everything. But in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim in Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, the one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, Let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, Let them arise. Then there arose and went out by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore, that place was called Helkath Hazzurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. So David's men have traveled north to Gibeon, while Abner, who was Saul's right-hand man when Saul was killed, travels south to Gibeon. These two groups, they meet together at the pool of Gibeon. And from what I understand, it's about 40 feet across that pool. David's men are on one side, and Abner's men are on the opposite side. And Abner, he says, I got a challenge for you. Let's have a contest. 12 on 12. I'll pick out 12 of my men, and you take 12 of your men, and we'll let them fight it out. Now, perhaps this was to determine who was going to submit to who, almost like David and Goliath. Okay, David goes out against Goliath. Remember what they said? Hey, if we beat you, if your champion beats us, then we'll be your servant. If it's vice versa, then you'll be our servant. Of course, something didn't happen there. There was a problem with that because when Goliath got beat, they didn't submit, you know. So there's a big fight there, and the men of Israel killed off a lot of the Philistines. But these 24 men, I don't know if you've ever met anybody that's just a fighter. I've known a few people that are just fierce people. They're people that don't care, you know. I mean, they do care, but they're just fierce. And they're not scared to die, and they'll fight for their cause to the end. And we've got people in the armed services that are like that. You know, hey, they're going out, and they're going to fight until the death. It's just who they are. It's what they do. Special people. So they go out, and they have this fight, 12 on 12, and all 24 are killed. It reminds me of the gladiators when they're on the horses and they go out and one gets the other one and the other one hits him as well and both of them fall off the horse and they're dead. You know, lots of times they don't turn out that way. One time, you know, most of the time one of them will get the other one first, but that's kind of the situation. You know, you're out there and a sword goes, you know, you're out there fighting and a sword goes in one guy and the other guy's got his sword in you. 24 people fall out. So you think about it, and that name, Helkath Hazarim, they call it the Field of Sharp Swords, Field of Heroes. There's a lot of different names for it. But okay, now the battle's over. This contest is over. So everything's great and fine and well because now it's a tie. So everybody can just go home, you know. So nobody's going to submit to anybody. No, that's not the way it worked. There was just more hatred and more revenge that was built up from this battle. And this civil war is on. This is friends against friends. This is brothers against brothers. You know, we had the civil war back in this country. You know, if you remember, and I don't mean remember that because you were there, because it happened during your time. I just mean you remember 160 years ago that what history tells us, that you had the North against the South, the Union against the Confederates. But you know, it says that there were somewhere between 600,000 and 800,000 men that were killed. And the majority of them, a bigger part of them, were killed on the Union side. That's a lot of people. You know, if you take all the people from World War I and World War II and you add them up, it doesn't even come up to 600,000 people. And then you had millions of people that were injured, you know, from this. But this was, you know, was a terrible thing, civil war. And civil war is a terrible thing. But, you know, there in verses 18 and 19, it says, and there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. So we see here these three sons of Zeruiah. Now, you know, I just want to clarify who they are, because many times you have people by the same name. But this was David's sister. And these three men are his sister's sons, which makes them David's nephews. So you remember Abishai. We've already looked at him a while back. Remember when David went to, when he was running from Saul, and Saul and them were down in the valley, and David was going down to the camp, and David went, he says, hey, I need somebody to go with me. And he was talking to, was it Ahimelech? There was a Hittite there, and there was Abishai also there. Abishai says, I'll go. You know, right off the bat, he says, I'll go with you. Now, David has to sneak down inside Saul's camp. And this guy says, I'm with you. You know, two against I don't know how many. You know, you think this guy is crazy, but he's like, no. And remember when he got down there? He says, let me kill him. I'll just hit him once. I'll just spear through him one time, but let me kill him. He was a fierce warrior. You know, later on, we'll see, Lord willing, if we get there, somewhere in chapter 2, later on, Abishai, there was a Philistine that comes upon David and is about to kill David, and Abishai steps in and kills the Philistine and really saves David's life. But we see this of Abishai, and then we have Joab, also one of the main characters here, but we have Asahel. Now, look what it says about Asahel. It talks about this battle, and it says, and talks about these three sons, and it says, and there were these three sons, and it says, and Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. Says, and Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left hand from falling Abner. So we see Asahel. Asahel was a track star. You know, his high school letterman jacket put 30 more pounds on him for all the letters he got. You know, all the award pins and things that they have that you get on. Have you ever seen that in some of the high schools? I went to high school, and if you lettered your freshman year, you got one letter throughout your career. That was it. But some of the schools gave away every sport that you were in, everything that you did, you got a letter, you know, if you were, if you played in it. And I remember Lakota, those guys had jackets, and I was like, no wonder they're so good in football. They got a 30-pound jacket they're always wearing, you know. But that's the way Asahel was. You know, he was the state champ. He was most valuable player at his high school. He was state champ 4 years in a row. He was fast. He was extremely fast. It says he was like a deer. You know, it was like a motorcycle racing a bicycle. That's the way it was with him. And he was also a good fighter. He was courageous. He was fearless. But, you know, he was a little on the overconfident side. And he was a little careless in his actions. It says here that, you know, when he was running, he was a perfect track person. Because what do you tell people in track? Don't be looking around. Don't worry about the person that's beside you. Don't ever look back. That's the way he was. He was a great track star. He was a runner. In verse 20, here it says, then Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. You know, Abner is a seasoned warrior. He's aware of his surroundings. He's not a track star. He wants to know what's going on around him all the time. Like riding a motorcycle, right, guys? You know, you got to know what's going on around you all the time. You're not looking just straight forward. You don't want to look to the right or left. You're not in a race. You know, you're trying to survive being out there going against vehicles that are a lot larger than you, people that are careless many times in the way that they drive. But Abner, like I said, he knows what's going on. He is a good warrior. He is very... He's very, like I said, seasoned in it. He's experienced. So someone's coming up on him, and he's like, somebody's coming up, and they're coming up quick. And he kind of takes a glance behind him, and he says, Asahel, is that you? He said, you got it, buddy. That's me. Like, cocky in the way that he was talking. You know, like, I'm going to get you. But they're in... Verse 21, it says, and Abner said to him, turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. Abner warns Asahel. He says, go fight with one of the other young men. You know, battle with him. If you beat him, take his armor back as a trophy. You know, that's what you're looking for. He warns him, and that's having mercy. When you warn somebody that you're going to kill him, and you know you're going to kill him, but they don't think so. But Asahel, he would not heed the warning. Asahel was not satisfied with just killing any buck. He wants that big trophy buck hanging on the wall. He wants Abner. Verse 22, it says, and Abner said again to Asahel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? Again, Abner warns Asahel. He says, I don't want to kill you. Stop pursuing me. Abner had respect for Joab. He says, he's another fierce fighter, and I don't want to kill his brother. Asahel was overconfident. Why? And we got to be careful with this. Because of his past accomplishments. Many times we can get that way. Because we've been successful in some things, we just kind of plow through some other things without really involving God in it. But he's trusting in his flesh. Asahel feels 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Especially since Abner's running from him. And Asahel is like a dog chasing a car. You know, just because the car drives off doesn't mean the car is scared of you. The car's not scared of the dog. Abner's like driving, like a driver who slows down. There's a squirrel in the middle of the road. That happens to us coming to church many times. But he doesn't want to kill the squirrel. You know, I don't want to kill the squirrel, so I slow down. Now, I'm not afraid of the squirrel, you know. You know, I want to have mercy on the squirrel. And that's what Abner's trying to do with Asahel. I'm not scared of you. I just don't want to kill you. Verse 23, and it says, howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Ahasuerus fell down and died stood still. You know, if that squirrel's in the middle of the road and refuses to move, I'm not going to run off the road and hit a tree. I'm not going to run to the other lane and hit a car head on. I'm sorry, squirrel. I'm watching out for myself at this point. And that's a point I'm trying to get across about Abner. Abner tried to avoid it at every cost, but there was just no way that he could do it. So when you hit that squirrel, that's not murder. You know, you're not out with your car looking for squirrels trying to run over them. Or that dog's chasing your car. And, you know, you have to slam on your brakes and the dog runs into the back of the car. You know, maybe you slam on your brakes because the squirrel's in the road. You know, the dog runs in the back of the car and the dog dies. You know, that's not, you didn't kill the dog. Well, that's kind of the same picture here. Abner is not guilty of murder. But as we look here, just as Asahel gets close enough and he thought he was about to kill Abner, Abner plants one foot. And he's got that sword there, and as he plants that foot, what happens? The sword goes through Asahel. Now, it's either kill or be killed. But what killed him? You know, all those speed accomplishments that you had and trusting in those things and that flesh, Abner didn't want to kill him, but all he did is have to plant that foot and had that spear back like that. He actually ran into it. Now, he may have pushed back on it, but one of the things that helped kill him helped to go through him, because remember, it was the blunt end. And I say blunt because if you think about it, it wasn't the sharp end of the spear that's going to go through him. It's more like a hollow point. You know, it's blunt on the end. And it may have had a little bit of a point. And the reason I say that is because when I think back about when David then went down to Saul, remember what was planted right next to him? He had that spear stuck in the ground. Well, you're not going to take your sharp end that you're going to... So they may have whittled that down a little bit, you know, so they could get it in the ground. Maybe, maybe not. But just a thought. But the spear goes through Asahel, and he dies. How can this happen? Asahel saw the spear, and it wasn't even pointed at him. So there should not have been any threat of harm. You know, when you're chasing somebody, and, you know, it's like saying, I don't know how he died. I thought the gun was unloaded. You know, but it still happened. And he looked at that as no threat at all. And yet that spear still killed him, but it was with his assistance that it also killed him. So one of Asahel's strengths was actually a weakness to him. Asahel may have been fast like a deer, but you know, he wasn't smart like a deer. A deer uses its speed, what? To get away from danger. Asahel used his speed to get right into danger. I don't know if you've ever jumped a deer, but they can be right by a 4-foot fence and they just kind of step over it and they're gone. It looks so easy, it looks so smooth. My wife did that one time. Not jumped over a fence, but she was riding bikes down a hill. Bee stung her in the lip. She jammed on that front brake. The back end of the bike came up like that, and she just calmly stepped over the bike and let it crash on the side. But that's kind of what it reminds me of when I think about the deer. I think about that time. But deer do that. It's just easy for them. If you've ever seen it, it's just amazing. It just looks like there's no effort in it at all. But Abner had no choice. Asahel, it was in self-defense. He had to kill Asahel or he was going to be killed. You know, it's kind of like that old saying, you know, like with Asahel going against Abner, you know, don't take a knife to a gunfight. And that's kind of the way this situation was. But you know, some people, they use their strength to run right into eternal danger. You know, many of the youth are strong and healthy, but you know, they'll get into drugs, they'll get into cars and race off high speeds and things like that. But you know, they think that they're just looking at the back end of the spear. They think they're looking at an unloaded gun, but it's not that way. You know, many of the, I won't call them senior citizens, I won't call us senior citizens, I'll call seasoned citizens. Some of us are more well-seasoned than others, but you know, we know that we're just a step away from death. The youth aren't. They're years away from death. They look at that end of that spear and there's nothing harmful about it. But that's the way Asahel was. He did not see any danger in that. But you know, even both groups, even the young and the old, that have heard the gospel, some more than others. Yet, you know, so many people look at that like a blunt end of a spear. There's no harm. There's, you know, I've got all kind of time, especially the youth. I've got all kind of time. I don't, you know, the gospel, I don't need the gospel. I'm fast. But yet, they don't realize, they have no thought about the wrath of God, no thought about the wages of their sin, because it's like an unloaded gun. It's like a blunt end of a spear. There's no threat in it for them. You know, like this morning, you know, our desire is that they'll see the threat of the wrath of God. They'll see things as they are, the truth behind it, as Asahel did not. But in verse 23 there, it says, "And where Asahel fell down and died, all that came by there stood still." You know, the thought about Asahel's death. Those people passed by and they gave thought to it. They paid respect and gave thought to it. You know, I don't know if you're like that, but you know, when a funeral procession is going through and I pull over, I think about that. I think about that. Whoever's in there is in eternity somewhere, you know, whether it's eternal damnation or whether it's eternity with their Lord. But I like that when people pull over and give respect to those passing through. But verse 24, it says, "Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gaia, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon." We see here that Joab and Abishai, They want vengeance for Asahel's death. And we'll get more into this hopefully in the weeks to come. Remember, we talked about Hebron being a priestly city. And I'm not sure, and I'll have to do more studying on it. But, you know, that would be a city of refuge. But when we have another, more or less, assassination, shouldn't say another, but when we have an assassination later on, we'll have to look at that and see if that assassination was in the city or outside of the city. But, you know, when somebody was to flee to the city of refuge, it wasn't up to the person pursuing them to make a decision. If they went there and they were guilty, you know, the elders, those took care of that. They just didn't let them slide. And yet, if they were innocent, they were allowed to stay in that city. And they were safe as long as they stayed in that city. And we'll look more into this, Lord willing, in the future as we get on into 2 Samuel. But in verse 25, it says, "And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, 'Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it is with bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?'" This is kind of interesting, because you're the one that started this. You're the one that won the contest. Now you're saying, you know, it's almost like turning around and saying, well, how long are you going to let this go on? You're just going to continue to let this go on? Joab, wait a minute, Abner, you're the one that started, you know? But now you want it to be over? But here in verse 27, Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken surely, then in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through all Bethron. And they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel." So he did lose a very good man, but overall there was 20 of his men that had died in this battle. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 and 80 men died, 360 people, men died. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So we see here that Abner, who was the one, like I said, who would not bow to the Lord's anointed, who in essence is against God and cannot sing, "Behold, our God seateth on his throne," because Abner is, in essence, he's the one that's on the throne. He's the one who's, he thinks, is calling the shots. Now he wants a ceasefire. He turns the details around and says, "Hey, we're going to continue killing each other. Remember, we're brethren. We're brethren. We shouldn't be having a civil war because we're brethren. We're the one that started it." But Joab calls for a ceasefire. And like I said, David's men have lost 20 people, and Abner's men have lost 600. Abner's group has lost 360 men. And then there in verse 1 of chapter 3, you see that the civil war is on. It's on at this point. A long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And we'll see more of this over and over. But, you know, we see in civil wars, you know, in countries ending in hundreds of thousands of casualties on both sides. You know, also we see civil wars in churches. You know, we nicely call them church splits. But it's a civil war. It's between the people of the same group. That's terrible. You know, the bad thing is there's always casualties on both sides. It's a sad thing. And you know, perhaps there's more of that in churches than there were in the Civil Wars, in the World War I and the World War II. Sad. It ought, you know, as was said, these things ought not so to be. But you know, we also see civil wars in families. We see husbands against wives. We see children against parents. We see brothers against sisters. Again, there's always casualties on both sides. You know, why? Why do we have these civil wars? You know, it's all because of sin. People are refusing to bow to the Lord's anointed. You look at every one of those situations, somebody is not bowing to the Lord's anointed. You know, and to those that heard the gospel this morning, it could well be repeated tonight, bow today to the Lord's anointed, Jesus Christ. Bow to Him. You don't want to be a casualty. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, as we look through this history, as we look at sin going back and forth, Lord, among Your people. Lord, we just pray that You'll help us to see You as the one seated on Your throne. May we behold You each and every day. Lord, every time we have a discrepancy, may we look to You. Lord, so many times we see things and we'll continue to see things in Your word. You know, David was good about going and asking, what should I do? Should I go to Hebron? Should I go after my family that's been taken? Should I do this? Should I do that? That's always good to ask. And it's always good when You're so good to answer yes or no. And we see that throughout Your scriptures. But Lord, how many mistakes are made here when we trust our own flesh, when we trust our past accomplishments, and we think we've got it all under control? Lord, may it not be so. May we trust in You for all things. And again, Lord, as we look at the gospel and how it's preached this morning, we look to You to save the souls of the people that was here this morning that are outside of Christ. We can't do it in our flesh. We cannot do it. Lord, we look to You and we give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen.